Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Nightly news anchor for 22 years. He was on the air. Most of us saw him on the air on September 11, 2001, because he was on the air 14 hours, I want to say. It's Tom Brokaw on the phone. Tom?
I'm glad to be in Chicago once again on the air.
Tom, where were you when you heard the news on 9/11 that morning?
Well, it was an odd beginning. I was getting my first really difficult weight-bearing yoga lesson that my wife insisted on, and it's 55 minutes into it, I was looking for any way to get out of there. When the phone rang, and they said, some kind of a small plane is at the World Trade Center. So I got dressed, dashed out into the street in upper Manhattan. It was election day. It was a beautiful, sunny day, and no one had any idea what was going on down there. I jumped in a cab. About halfway down, a well-known radio reporter in the city, Art Offen, said, I'm in Washington Square Park. A second plane has just roared over the top of me and into the other tower. And I thought, we're at war. And I called my wife, who was out in Montana, and said, better get up and start watching. I don't know when we can talk. Went directly to the Today Show, and as you say, I was on actually, I think, 15, 16 hours probably that day. And as I said to Matt, I was on the Today Show this morning with Matt again, and what was unique about that was that we had no idea what would happen in the next nanosecond. It was all so unexpected. It was extraordinarily a surprise attack. So when you have a war coming, you kind of have a build up to that, or you see weather systems develop for big weather problems. This one, we had no idea where it was coming from, what they were up to, and I just counseled my colleagues, don't speculate. We're just going to report what we know,
right?
Know for sure. So that's how the day went.
How did you keep it together once the news started coming in and all the people that were trapped inside the World Trade Center? How do you keep it together?
It was not easy. When the tower began to collapse, too, I think was the first one to go. We thought that there might be as many as 15, 20,000 people in there. And I have an Irish gene. My mother was a Connolly from County Mayo, and it does well up from time to time. But adrenaline is a strong drug. The only time that day that I did have some real difficulty, I had a man on the phone who had just gotten out, and he had left behind 490. Some of his coworkers who were confined to wheelchairs have spinal cord injuries. And spinal cord injury is something that I've dreaded all my life, and I do a lot of work with Nick Monacani and the Miami Project. And that got to me, that these poor souls confined to the wheelchairs waiting for the elevator that never came. And I had to hand off to somebody else and kind of compose myself.
Man, I don't know how you did it.
And then later in the day, we had crews out downtown, and there was this anguished mother in gray hair holding a sign saying, has anybody seen Tommy Smith? And Tommy Smith, it turns out, was a member of a family, the only one to go to college, kind of a pudgy kid we saw in home movies, who got a job, I believe, at Morgan Stanley. And he was the pride of the family, a working-class family. And it was so devastating for them to have lost him. And I then did a follow-up. I wanted to know more about them. And turns out one of the sons was a big Green Bay Packers fan, and Brett Favre will always have a place in my heart because I didn't know him. I wrote to him, and I said, could you send something? And he sent an entire package of stuff to this man. But that family, everybody who suffered a loss suffered greatly, obviously. That family, this was the one son who had gone to college and was on his way, and they lost him.
We're talking with Tom Brokaw. I saw your piece today on Search Dogs. It was interesting how you brought that dog back to ground zero and how he reacted.
Well, I'm a big dog person. I have Labradors, which are also good at that kind of thing because they're trained as bird dogs. For the most part, they have great scents. And that golden retriever that we saw there today is part of an expanding population of search dogs across the country because they have this unique ability, this deep scent. But what they do is they go and sniff and sniff, and if they get a strong scent, then they begin to bark. They put in long hours, and it's a very tiring thing. But the relationship that Denise had with Brittany, I think, was pretty self-evident on the screen, and I completely get that. I have a dog now out in Montana, Red. You know, it's just my favorite companion outside of my wife. I always make that clear. But I do also say to my wife, he loves me better than he loves you. Do understand that. So
I love the piece on the search dogs, Tom, but here is my question. President Bush was at elementary school in Sarasota, Florida. Those kids, they were in the second grade. So they were 7 years old. Has anyone talked to those kids now?
You know, that's a very good question. I hadn't thought about that. You know, that was a big mistake, if I thought, on the president's part, to sit there for as long as he did after he'd been told, instead of getting up and saying, I've got to leave, there's a national emergency, and I hope to come back someday. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's a good follow-up.
And later that month, talk about a crazy time, but later that month, you received a letter containing anthrax.
I did, and that was a horrendous experience for me and for the people who worked for me. There were two developments that really didn't get very much attention. It was opened by an intern out in the outer office, and she wisely, it was just some brown powder, and she dumped it into a waste basket that had a plastic lining, got sealed and carried away. And then the letter with residue came into my office. And I had a fair-skinned Irish-American secretary who a couple of days later said, I've developed some kind of a rash thing, and I'd gotten a letter with some, it turned out to be talcum powder in it when we tested it. So she'd sent that out for testing. Her husband's a cop. And it came back negative. But she said, this thing, it's growing. So I sent her to a couple of doctors in New York and dermatologists, and they said, well, it's a brown reclusive spider bite. That honestly is what they said it was. She didn't make any sense. I haven't been out in the garden or anything. It seemed to be diminishing because she was on a drug. And then she came back on Monday, and I said, how are you doing? And her friends took her into the restroom and looked at it. It was over her bust area. And they came back and said, this is not going down. So we have a favorite tropical diseases doctor in town because I go to those crazy places all the time.
Right.
She knew him and trusted him, Kevin Cahill. I sent her up to Kevin. Kevin said, I cannot rule this out. He was the only one in New York that we found who had ever seen cutaneous anthrax. We then sent the samples to the CDC and to Fort Kendrick down in Maryland, Fort McKendrick, the Army of Infectious Diseases place. That came back negative. The CDC worked through the night, and on Friday morning early, I got a call from the police commissioner saying, do you have a secretary who's got a problem? She's got anthrax. It had taken 10 days for us to track this down.
We're talking with Tom Brokaw. Tom, I got to ask you, how are you feeling? Because you had cancer, and you went through treatments, and they seemed to work. Is that right?
They did. I'm completely blindsided by it. I've had a very healthy life. I'm the luckiest guy I know. And the best phrase that came to me immediately was a renowned specialist in multiple myeloma. He said, this is a nasty disease. Some other people were kind of polyamorous. Oh, you'll be back on your feet in 9 months. It was a tough, tough year. And I was blessed with having access to great doctors. I've got resources. I can pick up the phone and get who I want. There are 8 doctors in our family. My wife should have been one of them because she was my pharmacist. She was my sheriff. She was my cheerleader, and there were some really long, difficult passages. But I was determined not to complain because I knew that I was in a much better place than most people who get this kind of thing. And I had faith that if I followed the rules, that I was going to work my way out of it. I made some adjustments along the way. It really did knock me down. I lost 30 pounds in about 3.5 weeks.
30 pounds? I mean, that's
yeah, and then I had so much back pain I could barely walk. I would walk with a cane or a walking staff because it had compression fractures. It's a bone and blood cancer, and I was determined not to whine. There were some days when I was tempted to. I'd walk out in the middle of the wintertime from our apartment when I could barely move. There was this big bus stop poster of Tom Brady in his UGG boots, looking every inch of Tom Brady, and I would look up at him, and I would say the F word, you. And that would kind of give me a lift. And I would keep on going. So I met him at the Preakness this summer, and I and I'd never met him before, and I took him aside and was his posse, and I said, look, I was diagnosed with cancer. He said, oh, my God. I said, no, I'm going to be okay, and you helped me. Because
I cursed at your billboard every morning when I walked out of my house.
Right.
I love it. We talked about who we wanted to have on to talk about 9/11, and we all said we want to get Tom Brokaw back on the show, and we sincerely appreciate it. We've all been rooting for you the last year, and we're glad you're doing better.
Well, I'm doing much, much better, and I thank you all very much, and love coming back to Chicago.
All right. Thank you, Tom. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
Tom Brokaw, everybody. It's 720 WGN.